Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Great to have you with us. Kevin Hearn's on vacation this week. And there obviously is depression across the land by not having him here. I'm not surprised. Even Sarah, the great job Sarah does, didn't she sound just a tad down during the news? Because, again, no Kevin Hearn. Our number 1-800-795-9565. The Phillies lost again today, and they produced nothing. I mean, one more time, they just did not do anything today. 6-2, they were beaten by the Marlins. They're now 1-3. Six hits for the Phillies today. That's it. One extra base hit. They're 29th in the league right now in slugging percentage as a team. In fact, Freddie Galvis doubled in Shane Victorino and Carlos Ruiz. That was it. That was the hit. That was the extra base hit. Cole Hamels lost it. So our number is 1-800-795-9565. How concerned are you by the Phillies start? That's what I'd like to know today. How concerned are you by the Phillies start for all the Philly fans out there? Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be getting underway. Some great playoff series getting underway as well. And then there's Ozzie Guillen. How concerned again are you about the Phillies start? Ozzie had to manage today, but Guillen's going back to Miami. And he's going to be facing criticism over comments published last week in which he expressed admiration for Fidel Castro and says he intends to fly back to Miami to answer in person for his statements about the Cuban leader. Speaking in the Marlins dugout before this afternoon's game against the Phillies, he said he felt guilty and embarrassed and wants to address questions personally. He plans to return to Monday to Miami after the game. So he's going back now. He's going to have a 10:30 press conference tomorrow at Marlins Park. So I want to make everything clear what's going on. Then people can see me and know what I think. I think it's the proper thing so people can see in my eyes and ask every question they want to ask. I want to get this thing over with. I've told the Marlins I want to fly back as soon as I can, and tomorrow's an off day. I don't want to talk about it in Philadelphia. I want to be in Miami and clear everything up. So game's over. He's doing his post game now. He's getting out of there. And so he's flying out. Guillen says he doesn't want to. Guillen says he does not want to continue with the embarrassing situation. And he doesn't want to limit. He said he doesn't want to limit his appearance in Miami to the media. He said, I want everybody there. Whomever feels free about it can ask me questions. So in other words, if fans want to go, they can. And by the way, Marlins Ballpark, okay, Marlins Park is located on the old site of the Orange Bowl, which means it's on the edge of Little Havana. Just so you know. I've been there many times. So I want people there, Guillen says, whomever feels about it can ask me questions. I want you to ask questions because I feel bad. Yes, I'm embarrassed. The Cuban American advocacy group in Miami has said it would boycott and demonstrate against Guillen until the Marlins fire him. Guillen told Time magazine for an article published last week that he loves Castro and respects him for staying in power so long. The Marlins subsequently issued a statement clarifying that the organization has no respect for Fidel Castro, calling him a brutal dictator who has caused unthinkable pain for more than 50 years. Guillen said that when he read the comments on Friday, he was sick because he knew how people would react. I will apologize if I hurt somebody's feelings or I hurt somebody's thought. Guillen told writers Saturday. I want them to know I'm against everything 100%. I repeat it again. The way this man has been treating people for the last 50 years, or 60 years, I guess he put it. On Monday, Guillen said he was not surprised by the reaction. No, not really. I talked to the media already in Cincinnati about it, and I expect that this was going to happen. I feel badly because I don't want to say if it was taken out of context. I think it was kind of a cheap shot, but I've got to face it, Guillen told reporters. Guillen said he felt it was important to answer questions in person rather than issue a statement. He said, I don't want to make a statement because I think when you make a statement, it's a bunch of crap. That's his words. I want people to look in my eyes, look at my face, and see what's going on. That way I can tell them what the deal is. Like I said, I feel sad, and I've felt sad for a couple of days. I feel sick to my stomach, not because of what I did, just because I know I hurt a lot of people. The hardest part, Guillen said, has been apologizing to Cuban-American members of the Marlins organization. So the saddest part of this was to apologize to the Marlins Spanish-language broadcasters, Philo Ramirez and Yiki Quintana. He said, that was hard, and I did it face-to-face. I just talked to pitcher Jose Contreras a couple of minutes ago, and Jose was laughing, kind of like, don't worry about it. But every Cuban-born and Cuban-born family that I know, they know who I am. The Marlins will next play in Miami on Friday when they start a three-game series against the Astros. Usually a three-game series against the Astros is a three-game winning streak. It's not the first time Guillen, who is from Venezuela, has made strong comments about the controversial leader Fidel Castro, or about a strong leader, or a controversial leader, I should say. During his first news conference as the Marlins manager in September, he bristled a suggestion he supported Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. He says, don't tell my wife that because she hates that man. She hates him to death, Guillen said. I supported Chavez? If I was supporting Chavez, do you think I would be the manager of the Marlins? I never supported Chavez. Guillen, a former Major League shortstop, led the White Sox to the World Series title in 2005, the franchise's first since 1917. He left for Miami following last season amid tensions with White Sox general manager Kenny Williams. Guillen's comments have gotten him into trouble before. In 2006, he was fined and ordered to undergo sensitivity training by Major League Baseball after using a gay slur during a rant aimed at a White Sox area newspaper columnist. So not a good day for Ozzy. Doggone Time magazine. And again, I guess we have to find out, did they really misquote him? Or was there a reason why he said what he said? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. No, you can't talk to Kevin today. You have to talk with me today. Later in the week, we'll hear from Mark Brennan, Fight On State. Ron Musselman, formerly the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that covered the Penn State football beat for years. Jason Dombach will join us as well. And then on Friday, we'll have a preview of the Big Ten spring football season with all 12 coaches. It's a big number. But all 12 coaches. And we're looking forward to that. It'll give you, the listener, a great idea of where everybody is headed, including Penn State. Yes, that will include Bill O'Brien. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, and we'll talk about that. The Phillies' slow start. What do you think of that? What do the Phillies have to do? Do the Phillies need to make a trade? Is there somebody they need to move up from the minor leagues? Or do we need to be patient? NFL draft coming up just a couple of weeks away. We can discuss that. Penn State football spring practice. Practice number 7 will be starting in 15 minutes. They go 4 times this week. Today, Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday. But I'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What do you want to talk about? Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Kevin, by the way, on vacation this week. He has gone to Myrtle Beach, where he is currently sunning himself. And I've said that, by the way, as a warning to Myrtle Beach authorities. Really?
yes.
Kevin on vacation. And no, we didn't drive him out of here. They had the vacation planned for a long time. And we're looking forward to getting it back. But he deserves some time off. It's an exhausting Shikellamy basketball season. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear from you. What questions do you have about Penn State football? Here's your opportunity. Doors wide open to you. Give us a call. Have a question about a player, personnel, an injury? How things stack up at this point? We could talk about all that and more. This portion of our broadcast and this day part being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Number is 1-800-795-9565 as we look forward to hearing from you. Bubba Watson won the Masters yesterday. Penguins and Flyers getting ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Penguins will have home ice. They're the 4th seed. The Flyers will be the 5th seed, and the Penguins will have Sidney Crosby. I mean, Geno Malkin may end up winning the Hart Trophy as the NHL's MVP, but Sidney Crosby scored 25 points. He had 25 points over the last 14 games of the regular season. That's almost 2 points a game. That kind of production doesn't grow on trees. Phillies lost again today and again didn't score. They had 2 runs on 6 hits. And they are 1-3. Now, it had been 3 years since the Phillies were under 500. I wonder when the last time was they were 2 games under 500. I know it's only 4 games in. But again, this team is 28th right now in batting average, only hitting .204 in the season. And they're 29th in slugging percentage. Today they had 6 hits and only one was an extra base hit. That was the 2-run double by Freddie Galvis. The knocked in Shane Victorino and Carlos Ruiz. Hamels didn't quite have it today, but the problem for the Philly starters is they now feel they have to have it every time they go out. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, that's 1-800-795-9565, is our number. On this beautiful Monday afternoon, breezy, we're at the Sunbury Motors Studio here in Happy Valley. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yes, we're here at the Chateau. Mark Brennan, Fight on State later in the week. Ron Musselman later in the week. Jason Dombach later in the week. And then the full spring preview coming up on Friday of the all 12 coaches in the Big Ten. From Brady Hoke to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer. Didn't know I was allowed to say that name on the air, did you? Bill O'Brien, everybody. Kirk Ferentz, we'll have all 12 of them later in the week. That's what the plan happens to be. That way you'll have a complete handle on how things stack up right now for everybody as the season gets kicked into spring gear. And by the way, now there's growing support for Bobby Petrino. Of course there's growing support for Bobby Petrino. The Arkansas fans have realized how much they've won the last few years. That's probably a lot of reason to go by it. Blair Keel, the former Notre Dame quarterback, passed away. God, I remember talking to Blair Keel in the locker room. He's the uncle of Gunnar Keel, the top prospects in the country. Blair Keel was only 50 years old. And he died of natural causes. Led Columbus East High School to a state championship in 79. He played for Notre Dame from 80 to 83. Set the record for the longest pass in Notre Dame history, a 96-yarder to Joe Howard against Georgia Tech. He also was a pretty good punter in his lifetime, too. He's actually a pretty good punter. He played parts of 7 seasons in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Bucks. They drafted him in the 11th round, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Green Bay Packers. And he had 25 starts in 5 years. He's only 50 years old. Wow. Whew, that's a shocker. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. What's on your sports mind today? Love to hear from you. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show at WKOK after this.
At Northumberland National Bank, the customer always comes first.
What's in your kitchen? A large island, clean contemporary lines, wide open spaces, and stainless steel appliances? A nice kitchen can be yours with a home equity loan from the Northumberland National Bank. Get a fixed-term loan based on the equity in your home. You can borrow up to 80% of your home's value and pay no bank fees. A rate discount may apply when you agree to automatic payments from your NORI deposit account. You'll be cooking like a rock star with your new home equity loan from the Northumberland National Bank. Calculate your payment at noribank.com.
At Northumberland National Bank, the customer always comes first.
Call or come by the Northumberland National Bank on Front Street Northumberland, on 4th Street Sunbury, Lorry Lane and Hummel's Wharf, Port Treverton and Middleburg.
The customer always comes first.
Member FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
Ladies, what do you think of when you hear the words classic rock? Do you think of Buddy Holly, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones? Sure. How about Jimi Hendrix or Aerosmith? Well, if that is what you think of when you hear classic rock, you need to think bigger and brighter. You need to add some fire to your life. You need to replace the sputter in your day-to-day with some sparkle. I'm Steve Daigle. And ladies, real classic rock means none other than John Daigle Diamonds. That's right. We are the headquarters for classic rock. We have classic rock for classic women. Our classic rocks come in studs and rings and pendants and bracelets. Classic rock for classic women. Classic rock for you, ladies. So rock yourself down to John Daigle Jewelers. Let's get some new music in your life, in your ears, on your fingers, around your wrist. Our classic rocks start at under $400. You'll be singing a new tune when we slip it on you. Classic rock for classic women. It's playing right now for you at John Daigle Jewelers in Sunbury.
If you're tired of paying high water bills, here's a tip from Peters Home Appliance Center. Your old washer may use up to 40 gallons of water per cycle. That's 16,000 gallons a year if you do just 8 loads a week. Most high-efficiency front-load washers use just 15 gallons per cycle. That's huge savings in water and energy. Want to know more about the advantages of going efficient with your washer? See the pros at Peters Home Appliance Center, Market Street, Sunbury, today.
The competition can say anything they want and give you all kinds of guarantees. But the truth is, Bill Marks delivers better deals every day. A huge selection of cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans clearly marked every day. So go play the game everywhere else. But when you're ready to buy, there's only one dealer ready to step up and make that deal happen. Bill Marks Auto Sales, online at BillMarksAutoSales.net and on Route 15 just 2 miles north of Lewisburg. Bill Marks Auto Sales, a no bull kind of dealer.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Not a great day for the Phillies. They got knocked off 6-2 today at Citizens Bank Park and produced only 6 hits in the process. Numbers 1-800-795-9565. Kyle and I have both determined that you miss Kevin's boyish charm. We're not surprised. Let's get everybody up today on the board. Miami beat the Phillies today 6-2. They're now 1-3. Underway, the Giants lead Colorado 2-0 at the end of the first inning at Coors Field. In the top of the first, the Angels of Minnesota are scoreless. Later tonight, it'll be Milwaukee at Wrigley against the Cubs starting at 7. St. Louis will be at Cincinnati at Great America Ballpark at 7:10. Washington will be at the Mets at 7:10. Atlanta will be at Houston. And then later today, it'll be Kansas City will be at Oakland in the American League. Seattle's at Texas. That's at 8:05. The Red Sox, who are 0-3, will be at Toronto at 7:07. Cleveland will be at home with the White Sox at 7:05. The Yankees were swept by Tampa Bay to start. They'll play at Baltimore at 7:05. And, of course, the Angels and Twins are scoreless in the top of the first at beautiful Target Field. And I do mean beautiful. That is a gorgeous ballpark. We have had an uncharacteristic start to this Major League Baseball season. We've had everything turned upside down so far, which has been amazing. We have seen, so far, walk-off wins and so forth. You know, the Tigers, three thrilling wins to start out, all walk-offs against the Red Sox, but they're 3-0. But everything's turned upside down. The Orioles are off to a 3-0 start. The Rays are off to a 3-0 start. The Red Sox and Yankees are off to 0-3 starts. Detroit is where everybody thought they'd be. They're off to a 3-0 start. Seattle's 3-1. Texas 2-1. Then you look at the National League. The Phillies are now 1-3. The Mets, many thought would finish last, are 3-0 to start. This is just starts, but still it's interesting. Washington's 2-1. St. Louis, defending champions, they're 3-1. Arizona, which last year was fought the Giants of the bitter end, swept the Giants to start the season. The Diamondbacks are 3-0. The Giants are 0-3. They swept them. So we have had an upside-down start to the Major League Baseball season, especially in the American League East and in the National League East. The Mets are 3-0. The Orioles and Tampa Bay are 3-0. Talk about that. And, of course, plenty of Penn State football news for you. Seventh practice taking place today, six in the books. They did not go Saturday. It was Easter Passover weekend, so the decision not to go Saturday. So they've had six so far. They went Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, opening week. Last week they went Monday, Wednesday, Friday, had Saturday off. Let the players go home for Easter and Passover. This week, though, they go at least four times. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday are the scheduled practices. Bill O'Brien has a lot in right now. They have not spoon-fed the players. They have put a lot in. Practice has a great pace to it. It's quick. He wants the tempo up. He wants to push the tempo as much as possible, and he wants to establish that tempo on his practice field right now. And one of the keys for the three quarterbacks is which one grasps this offense the quickest and can make the reads and make the plays the quickest out of this thing. As he keeps pointing out to them over and over again, I'm not going to be standing with you when you're out there. They have to get them into the right play, into the right formation, at the right moment. And they want to do this thing with tempo and pace. And they want to play with high tempo and pace on both sides of the ball. I think that's what you'll find during the blue-white game. When you watch the blue-white game a week from Saturday, you're going to watch a football team that's going to go at it with a lot of tempo and a lot of pace. They want to go, 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 go. And he freely admits, and he told them after practice on Friday, look, he said, we have a lot in. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Another tough day for the Phillies. Knocked off by the Marlins 6-2. What do they need to do to remedy this mediocre start without Ryan Howard and Chase Utley? Sarah Bartlett in the news at the bottom of the hour on WKOK.
577-5626.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on a Monday afternoon. Kevin Herr is sunning himself in Myrtle Beach right now. In fact, let's for the heck of it, let's find out what is the weather in Myrtle Beach right now. Let's find out here exactly what is the weather for her on the road in Myrtle Beach. So we need to find out here. And we'll do that momentarily here because I want to see if he's getting the kind of forecast that he deserves. Let's see. We go there. And let's see, her is in Myrtle Beach. Let's see, that's in South Carolina. So we go, let's find out. All right, so far so good. And he's in Myrtle Beach. 70 degrees right now. 70 degrees? Unbelievable. Headed for a high of 72 today, 76 tomorrow. This guy's getting great weather. Meanwhile, here was here, 12 below zero. 64, 62. Well, then it cools down. There you go. Just checking. Want to make sure. But Kevin, 72 degrees. So the vacation's off to a good start. But it's going to be 62 on Thursday. Not exactly a great beach day. Not exactly the best beach day going. So. Story today in the sporting news. On Urban Meyer. Right? And, of course, he's the savior at Ohio State, right? The uproar and controversy of Urban Meyer's stunning recruiting coup at Ohio State settled in, and Stephon Diggs, still on the Buckeyes' wish list, was debating his future. Diggs, the second highest-rated wide receiver in the country, had narrowed his list of potential schools to Maryland, Florida, and Ohio State. For more than a week following National Signing Day of February 1st, and before Diggs eventually signed with Maryland, Meyer relentlessly pursued Diggs. Multiple sources told the Sporting News that Meyer won two national championships in 6 years at Florida and cemented his legacy as one of the game's greater coaches, told Diggs' family that he wouldn't let his son go to Florida because of significant character issues in the locker room. Character issues that we now know were fueled by a culture that Meyer created. Character issues that gutted what was 4 years earlier the most powerful program in college football. How about that? It was Meyer who declared the Florida program broken at the end of the last regular season game in Gainesville in November 2010. But why was it broken? He said, over the last 2 years he was there, one former player said, the players had taken control of the team. Only now, through interviews with multiple sources during a three-month Sporting News investigation, do we just see how damaged the infrastructure really was at Florida and how much repair work second-year coach Will Muschamp has had to undertake to replace Meyer, who was moved on to Ohio State less than a year after resigning from Florida for health reasons. We'll get to the call in a moment here. Meyer denies allegations that he cast Florida and its players in a dark light when he spoke to the Diggs family and said, I love Florida. I'll always be a Gator. My motives were pure gold when I left. He said, we left Florida because I was dealing with health issues that I have since learned how to control. But multiple former players and others close to the program say the timing of the departure was also tied to a roster he left behind. Remember, it was Meyer who hinted that the program that won 13 games in 2006, 8, and 9, and lost only 10 games from 5 to 9, was flawed beyond the unsuspecting eye. Now those issues have surfaced for all to see. All right, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's take a call, 1-800-795-9565. Let's go to the phones. Thanks for being with us, and welcome to the show.
That's a pretty tough piece of information to follow there. I wish I would have heard that about 10 minutes ago. I might be able to comment further on that. But
yeah, it's I'm not even done yet.
Anything that you can do to discredit Ohio State's choice to hire him, that's fine with me, to be honest with you. I know. That's a little bit of a sour grapes. Penn State fan. Real quick, Steve, I wanted to comment. I'm certainly not trying to insult your intelligence. I realize you understand this, but as a Mets fan, I'm in hog heaven right now. The Mets are 3-0. The Phillies are 0-4 now. The Yankees haven't won a game yet. But one thing I've come to know as a Mets fan is that 162 games is a long, long season. There's nothing I would love more than to watch the Phillies lose the next 158 games out now. That's not going to happen. you know, with Utley, they had to expect that offense was going to be slow, and their offense was sporadic at best sometimes last season. I don't know, because I go to great lengths to avoid watching them. I still think they're probably the best team in the National League, the best pitching staff in baseball. I would expect them to make a move to maybe shore up a little of the offensive woes until they get Utley and Howard back. But I think at the end of the day, I think the cream rises to the crop, and they're still going to be the best team in the National League, or at least the team that would be the odds-on favorite to maybe get to the World Series from the National League.
Well, you know what? When I was talking about the Mets being 3-0, I found it interesting that the preseason predictions after the opening week of the season, it was all flipped upside down. Baltimore's 3-0. Hey, now Tampa Bay's a good team, but they swept the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right? Detroit's really good, but they swept the Red Sox. And now the Mets are 3-0. Arizona's pretty good. They're 3-0.
Yeah.
But it is interesting how the opening weekend life has been flipped. And you're right. It's only one weekend, and there are 158 to go. But I will say this. I think you'll notice over the years that the pattern is this. Most teams that make the playoffs have a good April into May. Very rarely do you see the charge from behind in Major League Baseball.
I think of an age old adage that I once heard is, you don't win championships in April, but you can certainly lose them.
Right.
I just think that, and it pains me to say it, Steve, trust me, I just think the Phillies are too good a ball team to not get things turned around. I would be surprised if they didn't make a move to do something offensively to get things, you know, rolling prior. Because it won't be long, you know, the Philadelphia fans, until Charlie Manuel's going to be on the ice block. But boy, that pitching staff, and they've shown they are workhorses, and I really think that they will be okay in the long run. I do. I had one other thing, and I'll let you comment on both, and I'll hang up. I wanted to ask on a completely different note what you knew about possible long-term contracts that Penn State was looking into or had recently got tied into for opponents. I know they do the scheduling 5 to 6 to 7 mm-hmm. years out, and I was just curious if you had any information on anything further there. I'm going to go ahead and hang up before I get arrested here and let you finish.
Oh, I don't want you arrested, man. I need you on the show.
I'll make sure I put the phone away then.
Well done, my man. It's great hearing from you. All right. Long-term. Well, long-term, they've had to make some adjustments long-term in this process. And the reason they've had to make some adjustments long-term is originally they were going to go to 9 games in the Big Ten schedule. And the reason they were going to go to 9 games in the Big Ten schedule, you know how this crossover game's been set up, and it really is to appease Ohio State and Michigan to make sure they can keep playing while still being in different divisions and so forth. But that wasn't the reason they wanted to go to 9 games. And what they wanted to go to 9 games in the Big Ten was to help out Northwestern, Indiana, and so forth, because they were having trouble paying guarantees for games in their stadium. They weren't drawing enough. So they thought by having another conference game, that would give them another opportunity. Well, so that meant everybody was going to have 3 non-conference games. So you had to really tailor it around that. And now that the agreement has been reached with the Pac-12 to get them involved in a game for everybody in the conference, that has now changed the scheduling back to 8 games. So that's important. So 8 conference games, 4 non-conference games. For Penn State, Syracuse will be on the schedule next year. That's the game of the Meadowlands at MetLife Stadium. They will also have a game at home next year with Virginia. So that's a home and away. They have Rutgers home and away as part of the non-conference schedule in 14 and 15. Now, they had, at one point, they had put in a schedule together which would have put a series together against an ACC team. but they've had to back out of that since. So they're trying to fill that gap right now. The Pac-12 Big Ten schedule of the game will probably be in the opening week of a season, that Labor Day weekend. That's what they're looking to do with it. And because of that, it's going to affect how they now schedule down the road. I know what Bill O'Brien wants to do. Bill O'Brien wants to get other marquee programs on there. And there are a couple of programs, for example, that have not contacted him. And by the way, Pitt is on the schedule in 16 and 17 for the Nittany Lions. So the non-conference will be Syracuse at MetLife Stadium next year. That opens the season. Virginia's at home next year. In 14, it's going to be at Rutgers, 15 at Beaver Stadium. 16 will be at Heinz Field against Pitt, 17 against Pitt at Beaver Stadium. So that's how they're going to do it, non-conference schedule. All right. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Let's get back to this Urban Meyer story for a moment. This is sporting news. This is their deal. The program, according to one former Florida safety named Brian Thomas, was out of control. Ironically, Florida's downfall began at the height of Meyer's success, the 2008 National Championship season. Three seasons of enabling and pandering to elite players, what Meyer's players called his circle of trust, began to tear away at what he put together. I've never heard a circle of trust before in my life, Meyer said. Former players, though, contend it was the foundation of Florida's culture under Meyer. In the season opener against Hawaii, Meyer sent a few elite players, including wide receiver Percy Harvin, linebacker Brandon Spikes, and tight end Aaron Hernandez, would miss the game with injuries. According to multiple sources, the three players, all critical factors in Florida's rise under Meyer, failed drug tests for marijuana and were sitting out as part of the Standard University punishment. But publicly stating the three were injured and not being disciplined, former players say, Meyer was creating a divide between the haves and the have-nots on the team. So they were running with us on the first team all week in practice, one former player said. The next thing you know, they're on the sidelines with a walking boot for the season opener like they were injured. Of course, players see that and respond to it. It was Harvin more than anyone who epitomized the climate Meyer created. While former players say that Harvin was treated differently as a member of Meyer's circle of trust, as they put it, it was the beginning of his sophomore season after he helped to lead the Gators to the 2006 national title that it became blatant. That's also when it began to contribute negatively toward the team chemistry. During off-season conditioning before the 2007 season, the team was running stadium steps, and at one point, Harvin, according to sources, sat down and refused to run. When confronted by strength and conditioning coaches, Harvin, who failed to return calls and texts to his cell phone to comment on the story, said, "This blank ends now." The next day, a former player said, "We were playing basketball as conditioning and not running stairs." It only got worse as Harvin's career progressed. At one point during the 2008 season, multiple sources confirmed that Harvin, now a prominent member of the Minnesota Vikings, physically attacked wide receivers coach Billy Gonzalez, grabbing him by the neck and throwing him to the ground. Harvin had to be pulled off Gonzalez by two assistant coaches, but was never disciplined. When asked about the Harvin incident, Gonzalez, now the offensive coordinator at Illinois, said, "I think it's a little overblown. I mean, every player wants his voice to be heard." Said Meyer, "Something did happen and something was handled. I don't think it's fair to Percy Harvin or Billy Gonzalez to talk about it." Gonzalez left Florida for LSU, a lateral move after the 2009 season, and did so by placing his keys, cell phone, and resignation letter on Meyer's desk. There were rumors that Gonzalez resigned with a post-it note on Meyer's desk. "I never left a post-it note," Gonzalez says. "Urban and I have talked since. He'll do great things at Ohio State." Even as the unprecedented success at Florida continued, a mounting number of players were dragging the Gators' name down a path of drugs and destruction. At least 30 players were arrested in Meyer's 6 seasons. Instances of substance abuse were often linked to his most prized athletes, and NFL teams took notice. Hernandez admitted to failing a drug test at Florida, a problem that cut his draft stock from a first-round grade to a fourth-round selection by the Patriots. He's had a great career with the Patriots so far. Harvin, according to multiple reports, failed the drug test at the NFL scouting combine and slipped from a top-10 pick to the latter half of the opening round. Spikes, sources said, failed the drug test at Florida when suspended 4 games during his rookie season with the Patriots for using performance-enhancing drugs. Offensive lineman Maurice Hurd, according to multiple reports, last year tested positive for marijuana at the combine. He fell to the Redskins in the 7th round and later developed into a starting guard in his rookie season. Just how prevalent was drug use among Meyer's players? A source told Sporting News that Patriots coach Bill Belichick spoke to the current Florida team this offseason and address the issue and how it impacts the NFL. His message was, in essence, don't be like those guys. But none of the aforementioned drug problems was as prominent as All-American corner Janoris Jenkins, who, like Harvin, former players say, was protected by Meyer's circle of trust. In fact, in the opening month of Will Muschamp's tenure, 3 players, Jenkins, linebacker Chris Martin, and defensive end Kendrick Johnson, were arrested in separate incidents for possession of marijuana. When he dismissed them from the team, Jenkins then told the Orlando Sentinel, if Meyer was still the coach of Florida, I'd still be there. All right, we'll have more of this in a moment. We'll continue on WKOK.
When you buy it, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
This is Hollywood, where the 80s are in the house, Saturday, April 14th, with a special performance featuring the Idol Kings, playing all your favorite songs from rock and roll legend John Mellencamp, including Pink Houses, Hurts So Good, Cherry Bomb, and Jack and Diane. Don't miss the Idol Kings at Hollywood Casino, where the stage is set and the whole cast is here. From the crowd-pleasing chefs in the kitchen to the movers and shakers on the dance floor, from the dealers directing the action to the blockbuster winners and breakout stars, here, you've got the lead role, because there's no place like Hollywood Casino. Just minutes from Harrisburg and Hershey, take I-81 to exit 80. Must be 21 or older to enter the casino or attend concert. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-565-2112 for help.
Once again, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation are honoring area high school seniors as outstanding young Americans. These students have excelled in many areas in both the classroom and their communities. Congratulations to Megan Lamont from Danville Area Junior Senior High School, Thomas Toole from Lewisburg High School, Adam Snyder from Lime Mountain High School, and Carrie Siebert from Meadowbrook Christian School. The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation would also like to mention these students who, like the group just named, have been lauded as outstanding young Americans. Maggie Snook of Midwest High School, Amy Smith from Mifflinburg High School, Northumberland Christian School's Brooke Conklin, Eliza Miller of Seals Grove High School, Shikellamy High School's Kimberly Krankowski, and Benjamin Manival of Sun Area Technical Institute. Here's a sincere wish for all the best in the future from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, The Daily Item, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, the Urban Meyer Fun Fest continues, courtesy of Sporting News, which did a significant story on Urban Meyer. We'll continue. Before he walked onto the field this spring to coach his first practice at Ohio State, Meyer ran into two more significant problems. According to sources, Wisconsin accused Meyer and his staff of using former Ohio State NFL players to call high school recruits. Wisconsin also accused Meyer and his staff of bumping into offensive lineman Kyle Dotson, who was committed to the Badgers but eventually flipped and signed with the Buckeyes. The practice, quote, a bumping occurs when coaches accidentally bump into players during recruiting dead periods. One other school in the Big East, by the way, has accused them of the same thing. Both the alleged phone calls and bumping are NCAA violations. When asked about the specific charges, Wisconsin coach Brett Bielema declined comment. He did say, "I was upset with Urban because of a gentleman's agreement. It was something else that I don't want to get into. I told him what I knew, and he said he would take care of it, and he did." But also at the same time, there's been no apology from Urban Meyer. Meyer said the alleged incidents happened before I was hired in December. He said, "I heard of the allegations." He asked the coaches involved. They deny any wrongdoing. Meyer said Ohio State hasn't self-reported anything to the NCAA regarding those allegations because they are not true. They're already on 2 years probation anyway. Meyer and his staff got eight players to back off verbal commitments and sign with the Buckeyes, and a few Big Ten coaches, including Bielema and Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio, spoke about the understanding among league coaches at a press conference. A few days later, during a speech at the State of Ohio's High School Coaches Clinic, Meyer scoffed at the notion of the gentleman's agreement, proclaiming, "You're ticked off because we went after a committed guy? Guess what? We got nine coaches who better do it again. We do it and we'll do it harder next time." But less than 2 weeks earlier, sources say Ohio State running backs coach Stan Drayton called a Florida assistant to discuss the recruitment of a Lakeland, Florida wideout who was committed to Ohio State but was still being recruited by Florida. Drayton, sources say, told Gators wide receivers coach Aubrey Hill that Meyer and Muschamp had a, quote, gentleman's agreement about committed players and that Hill should back off recruiting. And by the way, Southworth eventually did sign with Ohio State. "I did not tell Stan Drayton that we had a gentleman's agreement with Will Muschamp," Meyer said. "Now, I don't know what Stan said to Hill in their conversation. He declined comment. Muschamp also declined comment." By the way, Florida the last 2 years has not been the gold mine everybody has thought. And Will Muschamp inherited this. Okay? So as far as I'm concerned, the first season of Will Muschamp was the last season of Urban Meyer. So in 2010 and 2011, with Urban Meyer's, quote, awesome recruits, Florida's 15-11. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Doug.